Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awaking, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1. To speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, the origin of the New Year's celebration. The New Year's celebration marks the end of one year and the beginning of another. It is a tradition that has been observed around the world for centuries. Where did it come from? And why is the new year in winter instead of spring? For religious reasons, some may totally disagree with the observation of the New Year celebration because of its pagan origins. But yet again, has this celebration evolved from its so-called pagan origins? Are celebrators observing a similar yet different event? From history.com, civilizations around the world have been celebrating the start of each new year for at least four millennia. Today, most New Year's festivals begin on December 31st, New Year's Eve, and the last day of the Gregorian calendar, and continue into the early hours of January 1st, New Year's Day. Common traditions include attending parties, eating special New Year's foods, making resolutions for the new year, and watching fireworks displays. The practice of making resolutions for the new year is thought to have first caught on amongst the ancient Babylonians, who made promises in order to earn the favor of the gods and start the year off on the right foot. Reportedly vowed to pay off debts and return borrowed farm equipment. The Akitu celebration is a massive 12-day religious festival. The Babylonians crown a new king or reaffirm their loyalty to the reigning king. They also made promises to the gods to pay the debts and return any objects they had borrowed. These promises could be considered the forerunners of our New Year's resolutions. So there you have a similarity to ancient celebration, the Akitu, with the Babylonians, and today's contemporary New Year's celebration, where, as I said previously, if you are of a particular religious background, you might have an issue with the relationship, or either the historical relationship or the commonality in the practice. So Wikipedia says the Gregorian calendar is internationally the most widely used civil calendar. It is named after Pope Gregory the VIII, who introduced it in October 1582. It was a refinement of the Julian calendar involving an approximately 0.002% correction in the length of the calendar year. So they corrected the Julian calendar, which was sanctioned during the time of Julius Caesar. So the original goal of the Gregorian calendar was to change the date of Easter. In 1582, when Pope Gregory the VIII introduced his Gregorian calendar, Europe adhered to the Julian calendar, first implemented by Julius Caesar in 46 BC, September, 46 BC, right. So there you have the two calendars that were used to calculate time. In this particular instance, the year. Ancient origins of New Year's celebrations by Miss April Holloway. On the 1st of January every year, many countries around the world celebrate the beginning of the New Year, as we know, right? While some festivals are simply a chance to drink and be merry, other New Year's celebrations are linked to agricultural and astronomical events. As you all remember, a lot of the ancient cultures were agricultural, largely agricultural cultures, and they also looked towards the heavens for signs and things like that. In Egypt, for instance, the year began with the annual flooding of the Nile, which coincided with the rising of the star Sirius. the Phoenicians and the Persians began their new year with the spring equinox. The Greeks celebrated it on the winter solstice. The first day of the Chinese New Year, meanwhile, occurred during the second new moon after the winter solstice. Comments on the Akitu celebration in Babylon dates back some 4,000 years ago, was deeply entwined with religion and mythology. She said the first moon following the vernal equinox, the day in late March with an equal amount of sunlight and darkness, ushered in the start of a new year and represented the rebirth of the natural world. They marked the occasion with a massive religious festival called the Akitu, derived from the Sumerian word for barley, which was cut in the spring, that involved a different ritual on each of its 11 days. I don't know if you guys remember, there's a song called the 12th Day of Christmas. It's 12 Days of Christmas. This may be the forerunner of that kind of a, observation. You know, I guess at one time people had this 12th Day of Christmas thing. The first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. You know, so they had these, you know, a song about these 12 days of Christmas. So here are 11 days in the ancient Babylonian celebration that kind of corresponds with the same type of activity as sung about. History.com says that the vernal equinox or spring equinox takes place around March 20th or March 21st and signals the start of spring in the northern hemisphere. During equinox, the amount of daylight and darkness is nearly the same in length. The word equinox comes from the Latin word I can't even say that word, aequis, meaning equal, or nox, meaning night. The Earth tilts at an angle at 23.5 degrees on its axis relative to its plane of orbit around the sun. At the Earth orbits the sun over the course of a year. Different places get sunlight for different amounts of time. The equinox occurs at the moment when the Earth's axis doesn't tilt toward or away from the sun. Someone standing on the equator on an equinox can observe the sun passing directly overhead. Additionally, equinoxes, only two times a year that the sun rises due east and sets due west. The Encyclopedia Britannica says that the vernal equinox, two movements in the sky in the year when the sun is exactly above the equator and day and night are of equal length. See? It's basically the same thing I was saying in, previously. History Channel says the vernal equinox takes place around March 20th or March 21st and signals the start of the beginning of the new hemisphere and fall of the southern hemisphere. Since the Earth actually takes about 365.25 days to orbit the sun, equinoxes happen around 6 hours later from year to year before moving back a day on leap year. So that's how they calculate some of that stuff. The difference between an equinox and a solstice. Because, you know, I don't know if you heard of winter solstice or anything like that. Summer solstice is around June 20th or June 21st in the northern hemisphere. Occurs when the sun is farthest north of the equator. It's the longest day of the year in terms of daylight. Winter solstice around December 21st or the 22nd in the northern hemisphere happens when the sun is farthest south of the equator. It is the shortest day of the year. So, you know, in the wintertime, we get the days, the light, it seems shorter of the day. So the word solstice comes from the Latin word solstitium, meaning stop sun. So solstice means stop sun. I guess at that point, when it reaches that point, it's like it stops or something like that. Anyway, spring equinox traditions. For centuries, people have celebrated the vernal equinox at the ruins of Chichen Itza, the ancient Maya city in Mexico. Crowds now gather on the spring and fall equinox to watch the afternoon sun create shadows that resemble a snake moving along the stairs of the 79-foot-tall pyramid of Kukulkan, also called El Castillo. On the spring equinox, the snake descends the pyramid until it merges with a large serpent head sculpture at the base of the structure. While the Maya were skilled astronomers, is unknown whether they specifically designed the pyramid to align with the equinox and create this visual effect. At Stonehenge, a prehistoric monument in England, at those stones that are placed on the top of each other, it'll kind of run down, but it's still there. It's so huge they can't figure out how they got the stones placed there. There's no known equipment or method for doing that right to this date. So anyway, Stonehenge, England, featuring the remains of a circle of a huge standing stones. Jews and pagans congregate to watch the sun rise on the equinox and become spring. However, it's unclear what, if any, meaning the equinox held for those who constructed the ancient monument, as they left no written record about why or even how it was built. So apparently these, and it should be, because we rely on food to survive, and these equinoxes and the solstice are very important to us, especially around springtime, because it depends on where you live at. It looks like the time of regeneration for the earth and all plants. You know, like right now, all the leaves are gone, you know, off the trees. And if you had a fruit tree in your backyard or a garden, you know, that's all, you know, there's no fruit out there right now that's edible. It's false, you know, bitten and, you know, burnt or whatever. So you can't grow anything in the wintertime. So it's kind of like the death, but it's, you know, it's not death, actual death, because those trees flourish in spring. So at various spring holidays in Norwood, the Persian New Year, which starts on the vernal equinox, the centuries-old holiday is observed by millions of people around the world and lasts 13 days. So you have this. There's the origin of the again, that's similar to the tradition sang about in the 12th day of Christmas. They have a celebration here that lasts about 13 days at the vernal or spring equinox. In Japan, the day of the spring equinox is a national holiday called the Shunbun no Hai. Some people commemorate the day by tending to the graves of their ancestors. Back to Miss April of Holloway. Atiku celebrated the mythical victory of the Babylonian sky god Marduk over the evil sea goddess Tiamat and served an important political purpose. It was during this time that the new king was crowned, or that the current ruler's divine mandate was renewed. It's very interesting because the Maya have the this image that's created by a serpent based on the movement of heavenly bodies. And here we have a mythical story of a Babylonian sky god, Marduk, over the evil sea goddess, Tiamat. Akitu involved a kind of ritual humiliation endured by the Babylonian king, which is just kind of strange right here, because they did some strange things to the king, which is you know, humiliate the king. I don't, you know, it's what these guys did. This particular tradition saw the king brought before a statue of the god Marduk, stripped of his royal gear, slapped and dragged by his ears in hope of making him cry. Okay. If royal tears were shed, it was seen as a sign that Marduk was satisfied and had symbolically extended the king's rule. So I guess a lot of kings submitted to that and cried just to extend their rule. But that's an interesting tradition. Ancient Roman celebration of Janus, J-A-N-U-S. The Roman New Year also originally correspond with the vernal equinox, the spring equinox. The early Roman calendar consisted of 10 months and 304 days, which each new year beginning at the vernal or spring equinox. According to tradition, the calendar was created by Romulus, the founder of Rome, in the 18th century BC. However, over the centuries, the calendar fell out of sync with the sun, and in 46 BC, the emperor Julius Caesar decided to solve the problem by consulting with the most prominent astronomers and mathematicians during his time. He introduced the Julian calendar, a solar-based calendar which closely resembles the more modern Gregorian calendar that most countries around the world use today. Now, the Gregorian calendar, as I said previously, was the calendar used to correct the Julian calendar. As a part of his reform, Caesar instituted January 1st as the first day of the year, partly to honor the month's namesake, Janus, the Roman god of change and beginnings, whose two faces allow him to look back into the past and forward into the future. This idea became tied to the concept of transition from one year to the next. So there you have the pagan so-called pagan connection or origin to January the 1st becoming the the new year, New Year's Day, in connection to the Roman god Janus. Romans would celebrate January the 1st by offering sacrifices to Janus in hope of gaining good fortune for the new year. This day was seen as setting the stage for the next 12 months. Common for friends and neighbors to make positive start to the year by exchanging well wishes and gifts of figs and honey with one another. So, again, you see the connection between the pagan practices and a pagan, as we talked about last year, a Christian, any religious practice outside of Christianity could be viewed as pagan, or say you're a Muslim, or something like that. You know, it's outside of you. Say, you know, it's outside of the major religions by the definition. So I guess the three major religions are Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. You have other religions also. So, you know, we're not trying to have a religious argument here, but unfortunately, these things are impacted on cultures, religious beliefs, and that's why we speak about them in terms of like last week we did Christmas and this year the New Year, because it's intertwined with the beliefs of a people, ancient people and people today. You know, that's its origin in religious practices. So we can't just talk about it without speaking about some form of a religion or religious observation. They're intertwined. During the Middle Ages, January 1st was abolished on 567 AD, the Council of Taurus abolished January 1st as the beginning of the year, replacing it with days carrying more religious significance, such as December the 25th or March 25th, the Feast of the Annunciation, also called Lady Day. March 25th was, as I said last week, the day where some people believe that was the date that Mary was told she was going to, was announced to her, told to her that she's going to have a child. I think 9 months after that, they calculate to December the 25th, the birth of Jesus. We're not going to get back into Christmas, though. So, but this does touch on some of that because they're very close, as you can see, these two holidays, and they still are. The date of January 1st was also given Christian significance and became known as the Feast of Circumcision, considered to be the eighth day of Christ's life, counting from December the 25th and following the Jewish tradition of circumcision 8 days after birth, on which the child is formally given his or her name. However, the date of December the 25th for the birth of Jesus is, as I said, debatable. The Gregorian calendar, January 1st, was restored in the Gregorian calendar. In 1582, after reform of the Gregorian calendar, Pope Gregory VIII reestablished January 1st as New Year's Day, although most Catholic countries adopted the Gregorian calendar almost immediately. It was only gradually adopted among Protestant countries. The British, for example, did not adopt the Reformed calendar until 1752. Until then, the British Empire and the American colonies still celebrated the New Year in March. So that would be like the spring equinox. So, and pagan, from what I've been reading, definitely refers to outside of the Christian belief. I'm not sure about Islam or I think Judaism also outside of that is because those two beliefs have the same origin. So, I'm not sure about Islam, but I would probably guess it might have the same kind of reference, but not the nature of this show today. Also, April Holloway says, April Holloway is just for the record. She's a co-owner or editor and writer of Ancient Origins. She's a guest writer on Epoch Times and iSpectrum magazine. So she has a Bachelor of Science in Psychology degree, and she's published research in the field of educational psychology. So back to history.com. Civilizations around the world have been celebrating the start of each new year for at least four millennia. Today, New Year's festival will begin on December 21st. Early New Year's celebrations. The earliest recorded festivals in honor of the New Year arrived around 4,000 years ago in ancient Babylon. So, in order to realign the Roman calendar, the sun, Julius Caesar added 90 extra days to the year 46 BC. He's kind of authorized it because he went to other people. And when he introduced this, the new Julian calendar, so that's very interesting because that's 90 days. That's two, what's that? That's 3 months, ain't it? That's almost 3 months. 3, 6, 9. But I don't understand it because they said 2 months. But that's the 90 days is like, oh, that's the Julian calendar I had to add. Okay, that's the Julian calendar. Okay. So that probably is right because they took away with the Gregorian calendar. So typically pinning the first day of the year to an agricultural or astronomical event. You think of very important to people in ancient times. And I assume that these are what occurs in the heavens above the earth you know, what we call space or whatever, is important to us now, as we do have astronomers, and we do send a lot of probes out in those areas. So I'm assuming that those astronomical events are very important to us, and we have a lot of things going on up there. You know, we can unarguably the sun. We can't argue with that being a very important thing in our life, because it impacts on agricultural, our agriculture and our ability to survive, right, food-wise, and to live ourselves. So we live off of the sun, the earth and the sun. Okay? In Egypt, for instance, the year began with the flood of the Nile, which coincided with, as I said that already, with Cyrus. Okay. January 1st becomes the first New Year's. The Roman calendar goes into just a little bit more about the Roman calendar. Again, which, you know, had the 304 days. Julius Caesar went to about changing that. As part of reforms, we already said that Julius Caesar instituted January 1st as the first day of the year, partly to honor the month's namesake, Janus, the Roman god, right? The New Year's traditions. In many countries, New Year's celebration began on the 31st, right? And we have New Year's dishes were legumes. I think it was legumes. I don't forget what that is. It's like nuts. Beans or something like that, which were thought to be in Spain, several other Spanish-speaking countries, people bolt down a dozen grapes, symbolizing their hopes of the months ahead right before midnight. Many parts of the world, traditional New Year's dishes feature legumes, which were thought to resemble coins and herald future financial success. Examples include lentils in Italy and black-eyed peas in the southern United States. Like, our peas don't look like coins. And what kind of coins do they look? Okay. Anyway, but that's what they did. You know, maybe they did have a coin look like a black-eyed pig. So, because pigs represent progress and prosperity in some cultures, pork appears to be on the New Year's Eve table in Cuba, Australia, Hungary, Portugal, and other countries. Ring-shaped cakes and pastries, a sign that the year has come full circle. Round out the feast in the Netherlands, Mexico, Greece, and elsewhere. In Sweden and Norway, meanwhile, rice pudding with an almond hidden inside is served on New Year's Eve. It is said that whoever finds the nut can expect 12 months of good fortune. Other customs that are common worldwide include watching fireworks, singing songs to welcome the new year, including even popular Auld Lang Syne in many English-speaking countries. I don't even know if I said that right. C-Y-N-E. In many speaking English countries, the practice of making resolutions for the new year is thought to have first caught on amongst the ancient Babylonians, who made promises in order to earn the favor of gods, of their gods anyway, and start the new year off to the right foot. They would reportedly vow to pay off debts and return borrowed farm equipment. So is there a new year's tradition that says you want to dot all your I's and cross all your T's before the new year comes? You know, I think I heard of people doing stuff like that. You know, tidy up, start off, give yourself a fresh start during the new year. Not that you can't choose to do that any other time of the year, but we're just talking about New Year's today and customs and things like that. So I don't want anyone to think that I'm suggesting that you should wait to the new year's to start to make changes in your life. Not what I'm saying. We're just having a discussion here about the origins of the New Year's celebration and some of the customs, the origin of some of the customs and the customs now, you know, how they have similarity to these customs of old, which some people might call pagan and maybe not think that you should observe them based on your religious background, belief, studies, etc. So you make your own decision. I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do. I'm just sharing some information. In the United States, the most iconic New Year's tradition is dropping of a giant ball in New York City Times Square at the stroke of midnight. Millions of people gather around, watch that ball drop down at midnight. It's been taking place ever since 1907. Over time, the ball itself has ballooned from a 700-pound iron and wood orb to a brightly patterned sphere 12 feet in diameter and weighing nearly 12,000 pounds. Various towns and cities across America have developed their own versions of the Times Square ritual, organizing public drops of items ranging from pickles, Dillsburg, Pennsylvania, that's a dill pickle, possums, that's not nice, Tallapoosa, Georgia, at midnight on New Year's Eve. Come on, is that really possums? Possums, come on, that's cruelty to animals. Anyway. Mesopotamian Iraq instituted the concept of celebrating the new year in 2000 BC, celebrated around the time of the vernal spring equinox in mid-March. Early Babylon calendar designated March 1st as the new year. The calendar had just 10 months, beginning with March, the early Roman calendar, okay? And I said that a couple of times. So, as we spoke about religion and beliefs and things like that in your studies, this is from the Truth on Web Ministries by William H. Ellis. He said, most people carelessly assume that celebrating New Year's Eve is a Christian custom. So he says that, I'm not going to go too far into this because I don't want to be, like I said, religion is very entwined with these holidays. So-called pagan rituals, and as this young man is saying, Mr. Ellis is saying that even some people have assimilated New Year's celebration into the Christian custom. So he said that it's an ancient pagan custom, which I already said. Essentially unchanged for 400 years. He says it's unchanged for 400 years. There is a. He goes on to say, you know, some of the same things I just said. In ancient Babylon, New Year's festival were closely bound to the pagan feast called Christmas today. So he considers the New Year's festival to be closely bound to the pagan feast Christmas. And we talked about Christmas and pagan origins of Christmas last Saturday. And this is why I say that even though this thing is very closely related to religious rituals, ancient, and whether or not it should or should not be depends on, as this gentleman is saying right here. And he uses scripture to say why you shouldn't do it. Why Christians shouldn't be doing it, celebrating the New Year. And it's basically because of the pagan origin of, as he mentioned, Christmas and New Year's. He says it's pagan in origin. So, I'm going to go right to some of the things that he was saying, because he basically repeats a lot of things that I've already said. He said that the New Year's festivities that had originated in Babylon found their way to Greece and finally to Rome. The Romans called it Saturnella. That was around that Christmas celebration in honor of Saturn. Amongst them, it was extremely popular, a time of revelings, drinking, bouts, orgies, finally ended in human sacrifice. Remember, for a week they did all kinds of things with this person, and then they killed him at the end of the week. And Saturnella. The first day of Saturnella was shifted during the lifetime of Rome. It began around the middle of December and continued into January 1st. And in its midst was December 25th, the day the Romans calculated the sun was at its lowest ebb. It was Julius Caesar, Emperor of Rome, who instituted New Year's festival on January 1st, 46 BC. That's historically, in terms of if you do research, and I encourage everybody to do their own research, please, because this is not an info commercial show. You don't have to take, what I'm saying. You do your own research about this shit. Historically, it's documented, the things that I've said. This is a Christian brother saying the same thing, He reads, he said that basically Christians shouldn't be observing these days. He said, rather than present a gift to Jesus Christ on a day they falsely assume to be his birthday, the world is busy trading presents amongst themselves. Christ has not only been forgotten at Christmas time, but is not so much as toasted amidst the partying of a New Year's Eve. So then they said Jesus doesn't, my mom, I think my mom go to church every New Year's Eve. So, but I know he's not speaking about everybody. It's a general statement. I kind of get what he's saying about the general population, maybe Christian, and New Year's Eve is just seen as a day for self and not members of, Jesus Christ is, or, right. So during the Middle Ages, many of the ancient Roman customs were mainstream into, Christianity, the pagan peoples under the Christian umbrella. It was during that period that the customary Yule log and mistletoe were added to the popular New Year's Eve festival. The Yule log is a carryover from the bonfires of sun worship, and mistletoe is a parasite used in Druid rites as a symbol of sex worship. So, I know you guys know about the mistletoe, and I mentioned this last week also. So, in the Teutonic customs were added. The date of the New Year celebration was temporarily changed from March 25th to coincide with the Germanic spring rites of fertility. So they have another relationship with a religious ritual that connects connecting the holiday, the New Year holiday. Finally, he says again, Pope Gregory reinstituted the ancient pagan date of January 1st. So he's saying he's shooting down on all of these dates and says that they're pagan and shouldn't be, I guess they shouldn't be observed because the Bible says Christians shouldn't observe pagan, shouldn't walk after the pagans. So all Roman Catholic countries accepted this change at once. Sweden, Germany, Denmark, England, and the strongholds of Druid customs finally were accepted in Rome in the 1700s. Modern attitude and compromise. Today, New Year's Eve has become a time for people to wallow in excess of liquor. The modern attitude seems to be have a wild time on New Year's Eve. Remember we were talking about those all ancient customs where they drank, had a lot of sex and things like that. So, you see the similarity. I don't know if people today are consciously, again, trying to observe the ancient customs, or the ancient customs have been observed so long and that they're not given the same titles, and the people are observing those customs without knowing what they are or caring what they are or where they come from. Or are they observing just something that, as I said last week, has evolved from the pagan customs into something different to them today, even though it's, very similar in terms of actuality for some people. Everybody's not drinking on New Year's, and some people are on their knees during New Year's, during the New Year's celebration. So, not to have a one-sided conversation. Since I'm the only person talking here, I'm going to try to present, you know, more than one view of this New Year's celebration. So he said New Year's resolutions are empty and meaningless, usually trifling matters of just. Few people make a lasting change. So he said God labels New Year's as pagan. He says, Almighty God does not compromise. Notice the eternal stern warning to Israel as they conquered the pagan nations of the promised land. And he quotes out of Deuteronomy 20-31. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do unto the Eternal thy God for every abomination to the Eternal which he had, have they done to their God. So he quoted, he said it's an abomination unto the Creator. So he had the Greek god of wine, Theodore H. Gaster writes concerning the familiar New Year's Eve babe. Actually, the New Year's babe is far older than he looks. In ancient Greece, it was customary at the great festival of Dionysus to parade a babe cradled and swallowed in a winnowing basket. This was taken to symbolize the annual or periodic rebirth of that god as the spirit of fertility. New Year. Who was Dionysus? None other than Bacchus. Bacchus, the god of wine, in honor of the Greeks held a festival called the Festival of the Wine Press at the time, which corresponds to our month of January and February. So the Greeks must have liked a lot of wine. So, we have a caller on 8404. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, Carlson, how you doing?
All right, what's up, brother?
This is Kenny, man.
What's up, man?
Hey, man, how you feeling?
I'm all right, man.
Don't forget about roundtable discussion next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, I'm on it.
All right. Couple things. I have read in my readings, you know, that's true about some of our holidays being pagans, pagan holidays, you know, cutting down, you know, the Christmas tree represents something about going cutting down a tree and whatnot, destroying nature.
All right.
But I read in my readings that a lot of these holidays that are formulated, especially in Western civilization, modern day, is due to economics. Christmas, really, in England, was formulated for the end of the year, end of year inventory, get rid of inventory. Easter,
right.
Spring, get rid of the winter inventory. So a lot of these holidays are associated, from what I read, well, you don't know. A lot of these holidays are so, but I believe that a lot of these holidays are associated with economics, with the capitalism, with business. Yeah. So, yeah. As well as that, and a lot of even Kwanzaa has been commercialized. I remember first celebrating Kwanzaa 30 years ago, how it was more grassroots and community-oriented. Now, McDonald's is capitalizing on McDonald's. Happy Kwanzaa, you know. And a lot of people are more informative about Kwanzaa, you know, but that is strong being commercialized. So,
right.
Yeah, and there's a lot of reasons and what have you. But all in all, you know what kills me? You know what kills me? How people for 1 week could be so giving, loving, understanding, and tolerant of each other. But as soon as January 2nd comes, boys, back to the old guard of being mean-spirited, not non-caring about your fellow man. I mean, you know, those are the principles that these different religions should be teaching on these holidays,
mm-hmm.
if you choose to celebrate it.
All right. I mean, not everybody,
yeah.
you know, like, you know, it's not absolute. Everybody's absolutely, you know, being following ancient. It may be following some of the ancient traditions, but do they mean it in terms of like the wine god or anything like that, or in terms of, you know what I mean, Janus?
No,
the guys don't even know that.
Yeah, they don't even know. I didn't even know that. I'm a reader. I mean, I know some of Western civilization do coincide with Egyptian, Babylon, and what have you, but a lot of it is commercialized.
Right. Well, everything is commercialized when you live in a capitalist society. Capitalism,
true.
That's what it's about. They're going to commercialize everything. They're going to commercialize anything that has a demand. That's how you make money. You capitalize on it, right? It's a demand for something. Like chitlins, right? A long time ago, chitlins was what? They were throwing that garbage, right?
Right.
That's right. But it
right.
ain't now, right?
True.
Anybody throwing no chitlins out the door now?
It used to be in my house while I was growing up. Wasn't a superstition on New Year's Day that you got to eat some pig ears. Why everything is around about the most detrimental meat of all that cause high blood pressure and whatnot?
Well, that's an old ancient tradition also, to eat the pig around New Year's.
Yeah.
I didn't know that pig, but I know chitlins was. But I guess that's a pig though,
cow.
Right? That's him.
Yeah, that's real pig. New Year's Day,
yeah.
Pig ears and chips.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Boy, that hog is yeah. eating up a lot.
Right.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that we do that we celebrate that might not be legit, but, you know, I mean.
Who says this is legit? Who gets to say that?
I didn't say I don't know if it's legit or not, you know.
Well, I know, but who gets to say that? Who gets to say if it's something that you could do? How harmful is New Year's than somebody celebrating their birthday or Saturday night going out? And I'm not saying these things aren't harmful either, but what's the difference between what you do with New Year's than you do at, I'm coming to your birthday party down at the club, or I'm going to the club Friday? You understand what I'm saying? What's the difference? I mean, you're doing the same thing.
I don't know. Yeah. And people go crazy, boy, don't they? When I was young, I used to look forward to the dropping of the ball and whatnot. But I don't know. You know, I mean, I guess it's the end of the year. You know, I mean, some calendars, right? Like in Islam, the end of the year is around Ramadan. You know, so in the Chinese, Hebrew, they got different New Year. You know, so
right.
But I don't see how, you know, the Western society, I guess because they won a lot of wars, get to detect when we could celebrate a New Year. Heck, my New Year is October 16th, my birthday. I count that as a New Year, you know.
that's your New Year,
you know,
right? That's your New
that's
Year.
Right.
That's right.
That's where I was born, you know.
Right.
And so, depending on, I don't know. There's so many contradictions and concepts and information. But you know what? I got to say this, you know, if whatever could bring, you know, some type of unity to our land, you know, among different cultures and whatnot, if it's going to address some issues, which is just a celebration and what have you, people don't really take it as like, oh, this is a chance. You know, if we could do this all year round, you know, wow, maybe there's a chance that could be better for humanity. If they really look at the definition of the different holidays, and some of these ministers need to get real about some of these holidays too, you know. Easter Bunny wrapping should have nothing to do with Easter, but it does in the United States
of
America.
Sure does. Not a thing. That's a fertility. That's a fertility ritual. That's an ancient pagan fertility ritual.
Right. I heard about that. Yeah.
Easter is the Eastern star from the Babylonian mythology.
And look at, there's a famous, still going on today, black organization called the Eastern Stars. And we
right.
even take on some of those Roman, Greco, pagan traditions, you know?
Right, Babylonian
really,
also. Yeah,
well,
Babylonian.
Well,
that's the Eastern Star comes from Babylon.
Well, but they say a lot of Africans was a part of Babylonia. You know, Babylonians
right.
were dark-skinned people. You know, so,
right.
hey, I guess we had a lot to do to contribute to all of those contradictions. I don't want to say contradiction or paganism or belief system or tradition that we celebrate today.
Right.
Hey, Carl, I'm at work, man. I got to go, you know. I'm still
I need to talk to you anyway, man. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, we're going to talk. Man, I'm going to give you a call, man, probably tomorrow or definitely Monday, by Monday.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Great show.
All right, Ken. Thank you.
Very informative.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. All right, everybody. The time is winding down. Thanks, Mr. Jones, again. I just want to say this. I want to say don't drink and drive. First I want to say don't drink, you know, because alcohol is a poison. Poison is a toxin. You get become intoxicated. You have poisoned yourself to a certain level to cause impairment. So I'm going to encourage everyone not to drink, not to harm themselves in that way. But if you do, don't drink and drive. Look out for the drunk driver. Don't fire weapons up in the sky because those bullets have to come down somewhere. All right? Many people are injured on New Year's Day due to, you know, bullets that are shot up in the air or inadvertently somewhere. So I want to, again, I want to thank everybody for listening in. Caller, and I want to wish everybody a happy new year. And I see you next week.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Ba ba da ba ba da 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 ba da